The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Chronicles.
You take the high road, I'll take the low road. Godfather of Internet Radio. I got something for you. The Bard of Broadcasting. The most fascinating man on the Internet. Don't you forget it. I'm here. Don't be intimidated. It's okay. It's all right. All right? Don't be upset. We'll make you feel better. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and I'm Chronicling, and I'm Cthulhu. So stay with us, because this is where you belong. Ice cap to ice cap? Hey, what happened to that? Where's that? Hey. From ice cap to ice cap. From Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Trying to control the sound, the atmosphere is just outrageous. And ever since we got a lot of this new equipment, there's been some problems. I think you heard that not large. I think you heard that loud squeal. I'm telling you, I don't know. I still don't know how some of this stuff should work. It doesn't make any sense to me. Me, Frank Cthulhu. And here I am. I'm the vegetable man. So eat your vegetables. You hear that now? Just, I don't know. It's Y2K plus 17. Every single, let's do this. How about that? Every single year, something else tries to obstruct the broadcasting of this show. And oh, we overcome it. We overcome the adversity, always adversity. And you can hear, well, I don't even know how it sounds to you. It could be how it sounds to me. Forget about that. I've got a bunch of things on. I love these euphemisms. What do you have on your plate? You know, I have on my plate what I bring to the table, right? You take two of them, put them together. What do you got on your plate today? Well, you know what I bring to the table. And there's some of those things are supposedly important to you and I. From the beginning, And the by the beginning, I mean, what, the year 2000? When the new millennium, when it came about? Well, I don't know when the hell we started this thing. I'm lost, and I don't count. I don't keep track of any of this stuff. I move along as I move along in place. I'm not running in place. We're all running in place. In the beginning, I said, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes if we continue to do this show and as we go along. And it all happened so quickly that any other endeavor that, let's just say 15 years, okay, between the old days at MCAST.com, which many of you don't remember, and coming over to SRN Media Works and then going through, you know, syndication, starting up there in Alaska and coming, I know you don't know, and it doesn't matter. But in any other endeavor, let's say 15 years would not be a long time. And certainly even though, I keep saying I'm not going to say things twice and three times, which is so when, what happens is when I do it, I accentuate it so that I remember to myself, don't do that. But any endeavor would not have as many changes as this endeavor has had in 15 years. To start off where we started, with the equipment we started, with the speed of internet, and with the consciousness of the internet. It wasn't even part of anybody's life. And no less were there mobile things or Wi-Fi or things, you know. We said things were going to change, but things changed so rapidly and keep changing so rapidly that if we should go 20 years, and I would like to think that because, you know, I either quit or I'm not alive. I guess those are the two things that happen. Right now, I don't want either of those. I may be honest with you. So a lot more is going to happen. And what happened is it piled on upon one. I piggyback. I piggyback on my plate. And that's what I brought to the table. I piggyback and on my plate. And that's what I brought to the table. So what happened is there's still things that are simple things that I can't get done. Meanwhile, more complicated things are going on in the very system I'm using to broadcast this live. Not many, still not many broadcasting live. Even that hasn't changed. And podcasts and whatever, everybody doing those things. And then all the people stop doing them. And, you know, this, can I think about the monitor I had the first time? And then, well, you know, I'm sounding like this is a, you know, this is one of those, and now we leave Cthulhu Chronicles for the rest of us. Hear that? Hear that? Don't like it. I am the godfather of internet radio, and I will, I'm the pilgrim of productive alternative broadcasting. And I've had a very productive week. I'm trying to have a very productive year. And there are some things I need to tell you about that make it all more productive and some of it, hopefully, more fun for you. Fun! Okay? What you get, you know, you can have fun and be educated. You don't have to have people saying, you don't have to have, see, that's why I shouldn't say it. You don't have to have someone being sedirious. I like that word. Sedirious. I had a sedirious expression on his face. You don't have to have somebody talking to you on your internet web radio or on your whatever radio you listen, where you're listening. You can, and same thing when you're doing stuff. You could do fun stuff and learn things. Imagine, you know, people complain about kids and video games. But there are amazing, you wouldn't go off the air. That was one of those dynamic pauses while searching for the word to complete my thought. There's amazing talents and skills that are developed through doing things that have fun. Like Liz Lett, you see? Now that's always been going on. That's the stupid email. You're saying like, well, why don't you just turn it off, you know? And some of the stuff I'll talk about tonight will testify to what I'm saying because changes are still taking place. They're going on and it's Not, you know, whether they're fast, whether there are a lot of them, whether they're slow and there's only a few of them, they affect you. I don't want to say grossly, because that would mean badly. They don't all affect you badly. But I want to say that, I want to say, and I'm going to say, because I want to say it, I have told you over the last year and a half or what have you, there's another one. What have you? What's on my plate? Is that what you bring to the table? I forgot the other one. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we are one of the syndicated stations that you hear me doing this show and doing other little things like, hey, hi, you're listening to whatever, you know. What are they called? They used to call them liners. Now they call them ID. No, not identity. I forgot. Doesn't matter. The True Talk Radio, I told you about that. We're on, I think, you know, twice a day over there, which is great. I love it. And I love Howie Siblinger. And I've been on his show. And I'll be on again, Howie, whenever you want. You just let me know. But, I mean live, I'll be on. Howard Siblinger is online right now, too. I may add. It would be fun to talk to him. He's on Skype. We're, isn't that funny how he came on Skype? Well, what I'm saying is this. I used to have a column, which was, fun, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you learned something from it. Doesn't matter, but mostly it was fun and entertaining. And it was, called Political Pulp, and it was on the Montreal Jewish News. And the Montreal Jewish News, what a great website, what great reporting. And I was on there, and a lot of people got to know me. They liked it, and a lot of people did what? People bought my books, which I hope you will do also, because there's a little ad there, what have you. And these are Political Pulp pieces. Can be read at any time, be funny, but here's the point. The point is it went on bad times, and the Montreal Jewish News disappeared, but it didn't disappear as in it's gone forever. And recently Howie got in touch with me, and he said, Frank, you want to come back and start doing Political Pulp again? And I said, by golly, I do. Well, stay, I do. I do, I want to, and I'm going to. So the Political Pulp, which was a very popular, they tell me, got a lot of hits, which was very popular, is going to be running again, MontrealJewishNews.com. Over this weekend, they're loading up a whole bunch of new stuff, fresh stuff, and for those of you, and you know how big I am in Canada, we're actually in the same size, so it's coming back, and that's exciting to me. Let's see, where's Howie? I wonder if Howie's here. I wonder if he's, maybe he'd come on for a little bit and talk to us. Let me see if I could get Howie. Where's Howie? Said he was online. Hello? I'll get to Skype, you know. It's just, again, Skype, right? I mean, this is, how has this changed? You know, every, what? I don't know, month or so, it says, you need new stuff. You need a new thing. You know, what happened to him? Says he's online, and then suddenly I can't find him. Where's, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? H-I-J-K. And I don't see him. Nowhere. I don't understand about this. Contacts. Anyway. I'll be telling you about that every week. It's coming back. It's great. And I'm going to be great on it, because that's what I do. If you don't like it, then what have you? Political Pulp is something I don't do, out and out political stuff, regardless. Those of you who heard me the Jiggy Jaguar show election night know that it gets weird when I'm with those people who take this seriously. And it happened again this past Monday when I was on the Jiggy show, and it once again got weird because it was more fun. I had a lot of laughs with those guys, and I'm going to get, and that leads me to some guests who are coming up here. Anyway, I'll tell you more about that. And I mean, I'll always be telling you about that. MontrealJewishNews.com. And the special feature, Political Pulp, by me, Frank Cotullo. Man, his name adorns the title of this show, Cotullo Chronicles. Of course, the books are still out there. I've been talking to some people today about the books, and they said, hey, yelling like, dear, what's that book? What's that book? It's not enough to write a book and put everything into it. You've got to tell people what it's about. And I guess that's only fair. People want to read the books and they have to buy them. So, well, I think that's why Amazon, I don't think all the other ones also have previews. I think that's why they have previews. So that, you can get a taste of the book, but they're there and they're fun and you can learn things. You know, you might not want to learn things. All I'm saying is that you don't have to be entirely serious when you teach. I'm not teaching though, or preach. I'm not preaching either. You could do something incredibly funny and then, you know, not. And funny reminds me of what happens. You know, I've talked here and there about the circus. And when I say the circus, I mean the 140-something-year-old Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. All those names, you know, I don't think they owned that all at once, did they? I haven't read a book about Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. But when you say those names together, it just has a flow to it. And they never imagined it would be that flow because the Ringling Brothers started, I think they sold it to Barnum, and then Barnum met Bailey. It's weird. It was something like that. And then they all wind up there, the Ringling Brothers, Barnum, and Bailey Circus. It's not, and there aren't many other circuses that are still around that travel around constantly every year. But if they all were that old, although some of them were that old, they just went. But Ringling Brothers, Barnum, and Bailey Circus. And once in a while, people will go, Ringling Brothers, right? Well, no, it's Ringling Brothers, Barnum, and Bailey. But there's not like the Tension Brothers, Smith and Wesson Circus. There's not that. Smith and Wesson. You know, Smith and Wesson. And the Wesson from Smith and Wesson with the guns, did he also have something to do with the oil? I don't know. But that was in the news today. Speaking of books, I'm not talking about books. I'm talking about the circus now. I just left the book. You know where to get the books? Amazon, blurb.com, lulu.com. Plug in my name. Or if you just, anything else I have out there, Google me. That was for Jiggy Jaguar to put on the sound board. Frank Cotolo doing phrases. Have you found that? Have you heard that yet? We got too much to do. I'm not going to go to that. Future guests. Some of the people that I did not get along with are going to be on this show for other reasons. I didn't get along with people for certain reasons and not for other reasons. There are things you could always talk about, you know, hear that? Boom, boom, boom. You know what? I think that has to do with being in that. Yeah, being in that spot. But I'm going to have a couple of people. I'm going to have a mystery guest. It just goes by the name of IQ. IQ, this mystery guest. Hiding because he can't show his face or tell his real name. And he was very serious and very intense. But I'll suck the intensity right out of him. We'll find his humor, even if he's hiding from the Taliban, or whoever he's hiding. I didn't mean he was or is that. Anyway, he's going to be on. I don't know when. I'm going to work this out as I always do. And you're going to go to F. Cotolo at, you're going to go to Frank Cotolo at Facebook, or you're going to go over to, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com weekly and find out when the heck and who the heck is going to be happening here. I didn't know this stuff, which we're going to talk about today. I have to go get it. It's on my, I have to hit a link and get it. And we'll be talking about this stuff. What else is there ahead of time? Those of you who, listen live, and those of you who listen to stations that also carry Savino Veritas after my show, and this should be done. You should run. Listen to other stations. Savino Veritas runs right after my show. Go listen to it if you haven't heard it, program directors. It's at juicedtalk.com. Tom Savino, he handles a lot of topics and things very humorously. He's my former partner in comedy and music and whatever else we ever did. Drinking. We were drinking. We did a lot of drinking. Over there, he'll be here tonight for those of you listening to stations that run him after my show and what? And here, live. So he'll be here. And, of course, on the Juice Talk, you could also get, speaking of Tom and Frank, you can also download and listen to those 1970s, dead air shows, which are bizarre. And if you like bizarre, they were, I hate to use the term ahead of their time, but this is kind of like vaudeville on acid. I say acid because, you know, there are other hallucinogenics, hallucinogenics out there. I know that, but let's just say it's vaudeville on, I don't know, a pot of coffee, whatever. Vaudeville, how about vaudeville on amphetamines? Vaudeville on speed? No, that would make it sound like it's fast. Why don't you go listen and decide for yourself? Why do I have to come up with slogans and little tags for you? Tags, that's a big thing, right? Did you tag me? I think he tagged me on Facebook. Did he tag you? I don't even go to Facebook that much. I think some of you who look for me there might know. But I don't know what to tell you. So. Yes, yes, you know, that's real Brooklyn. I don't know what to tell yous. Yes. And that's wrong. In the English language, it's incorrect to say, cause if yes, I'll see yes, yes. If that means you in the plural, it's also incorrect. I'll see yous, yous, yous. The people said that when I was growing up. What are yous doing? Yous. That would be the person you're pointing to who happens to be with other people. So instead of saying, that's, how are you and you and you and you and you and you doing? They make it and made it into a plural. So let's say there were five people there. Someone would go, hey, how are you doing? Instead of saying it five times, they go, how are yous doing? Yous doing? Yous? So many things. In my mind, this is why you get a real smack of authenticity when you listen to this show. Not like those other shows. Like, I got some statistics here. It was like 50% of the Americans want to, you know, we don't do that. What you get is whatever is happening right now. You get the now. You don't have to go back 1,000 years, but I tell you about going back 1,000 years. That's why I really think, I don't know why people, let's not go into that either. You see what I'm saying? There are things going through my mind. And of course, there are only saloon doors between my subconscious and my conscious. So subconscious things slip through because a saloon door, if you remember, it's two slats. I call them slats. They're two doors that are hinged against door jamb, the either side of the door jamb. They're hinged, but they don't touch the ground so that you could go through them. It's like, you know, you push one and you pull one, you know, you push, you don't pull. I don't remember ever seeing a cowboy going up into a saloon with the saloon doors and trying to pull it. They don't do that. That would be great. There's another scene no one ever did with a cowboy in a comedy. By the way, with a cowboy and in a comedy is the name of my new book. No, it's not. So you see what happens is that when you listen to the show, you get peace. If you listen to all of it, let's say, you get almost 2 hours of whatever is coming to me in my mind and what I think and related to how I feel. So I don't have this persona that, and I know now, and I'm like I told these guys, no, let's not even go there. I don't even like that phrase. I can never, ever stop once I heard that phrase. Where do these things come from anyway? Let's not go there, meaning let's not get into that subject. Let's not go there. Go where? Go where? Go to the table. What do you bring to the table? What's on my plate? You see, but of all the things I know and have learned about digital technology, and I'm one of the biggest, and I don't mean in size, because I'm really not that large. I mean biggest. I'm one of the more, I put more in front of it. Now I'm looking to, like, well, what word would I put that? I'm an enthusiast of digital technology. I'm a promoter of digital technology. I love this crap. And you know I love it. You know why you know I love it? Because if love has any kind of definition, it also has the built into it, toleration. Suddenly that doesn't sound like a word. Tolerance, that's the word. It has tolerance. It has misunderstanding. It has inability. A lot of these pessimistic things that are, you know, I'm not a specialist. I'm not an expert. Hell, I still have a grand collection of pens, and I love to write with my hands. And print is what that's called. I love to print. But there's still so much. So I love, and I am an enthusiast. This enthusiast of digital technology in every way, shape, and form. And I love it how people accept all the things they accept. And then when something new comes along in the digital platform, they go nuts. So people who have smartphones or even semi-smartphones, and older people like in my generation, I hate my generation. My generation has the, walking around with phones. Smartphones. And then, they tell them, here's something new. The digital technology is, what they're doing over there in Silicon Valley, as they call it. Cars have tried themselves. And the people who have embraced the wonderful things that they are now part of their lives, people who once said, email stupid. I'm not doing that email. And people who said, I can't guy always look in this web. What's this web thing? All those people who now embrace it as part of their lives in every way, shape, and form, because it's taken over and done away with so many avenues of communication. So those people, now that they have all that stuff, they say things like, what? A car that drives itself? Oh, now they've gone too far. That is just ridiculous. I think that's stupid. Right. Meanwhile, most of them don't like, you know why most of them don't like, this is a specific about the cars that drive themselves. They don't know how they're going to get somewhere, these people, because they're like, I'm not letting that car drive me anywhere. And what will that do to the chauffeur industry? And what happens to Uber drivers? That was never going to last long anyway, was it? I don't think so. What's my point? My point is that change is always intimidating for everyone. And the changes come so fast that we accept them. That's future shock, as Toffler told us. You accept them, and then something else comes along going, oh, that's ridiculous, though. Really, that's ridiculous. So you can't satisfy the human spirit, right? Dish down. Okay, here goes. You can't. No, I know what it is. No, that's wrong. Wait, don't write it down. Here's the quote. And another quote from Cthulhu Chronicles. You cannot satisfy. I have fine. Human nature, right? I got it down right here. I keep all of these things. As I said, I still walk around with those Cthulhu Chronicle notebooks. They're the ones I told you to get. You know, the Mead knockoff composition books. You know, it's amazing. Don't you think it's amazing they still sell them? When, I mean, kid, you could do all sorts of notes and things on your cell phones, and oh well. You cannot satisfy human nature. Also, I want to remind everyone, if you do have a Twitter account, aside from me at Frank Cthulhu, I don't think that's going to be as pleasing because I use it for other things in other areas. And I'm not one of those, I'm not a super Twitter person. I love it. And I was there before so many people, because Kirk Brando came on the show before thousands of people. Okay, fine. But What's the butt? The butt is this. It's the butt. But I'm not there or what have you. But you write it down. I write things down, I was saying, on my... Isn't it amazing that you still have these composition books sold in everywhere? The Kmart, everywhere. Target, Kmart, Cosmart, Costco, Keiko. And all the other ones as they merge or what have you. I still write all this stuff down. But that's not what I was going to say. See, I was going in another area, but all this stuff just came. It came flying through the subconscious and right into me here. Let's move on with this. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. We, as you might have noticed, even though it's like 30 minutes into the show now, we do not have a guest. I haven't mentioned anything about guests, right? No guests. Wake up, it's night. I said they're going to be guests. More guests are coming on. I'll get them on. We'll talk about things in a very light way. Serious things in a light way. You learn, I think you learn better. I always thought that's why we have entertainment. As a way of addressing things. Not just a way to make you laugh, a way to make you cry, a way to make you smile, a way to put a tune in your head, but to give something, and you know, you put it on that theater. On that stage of the theater of entertainment, you put all the things that people need to know and learn. And they learn faster and better, and if they get, and if they're smart, it's not like people think. Happened again. If you know it, you got it. But what did I say? I said, my name is Frank Cotolo, man's name is Dorrance Tyler. So there's no guests, but there will be guests and plenty of them as we go through 2017. This is January, and let me look at my little calendar here. It says, bum, 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 two more in January. Two more in January. You know what I was thinking also? No, you don't, because who told you? How would you know? How could you follow this is the question. So, you know, if I could get this microphone to work a certain way, I'd like to do one of these, I'd like to do what Steve Allen used to do when I'm doing the show. Just walk over to the piano and just play something and sing anything, you know. I could like, and make up a song. That'd be great. And I think I can do it. I know that's why. You see, I say I could do these things, but I don't try to do them or I don't put it together. The thing I should do is try to do it on the air. Maybe later I will just see if this mic gets over there. You don't know where over there. If it reaches far enough, then I could just, you'll hear the room, but it's okay. We got a low ceiling and we got the sound things up there, sound things. And I'll just sit down and play the piano. This piano has not been tuned in a while. That's another thing. I got a big list of things to do in the winter. Most people do spring cleaning. I'm doing winter cleaning and winter rearranging. I'm getting rid of crap you wouldn't believe. You would believe, but that's just another euphemism. Is that a euphemism or just a slang? I don't know. You wouldn't believe. What wouldn't I believe? What's on my plate? Oh, it's on your plate or what you bring to the table? What do you bring to the table? So, what do I have here? Oh, I have this. I got to find the particular first. Let me get this. I think I just click this and I can get it on a, here we go. Okay, like I said, I know a lot of things. This is go back to what I was saying. I know a lot of things. I understand the digital formats. I understand the digital atmosphere in general. But I didn't know until this week that there something that came to my attention because of others, something else I look for, you know, every year. The Oxford Dictionary and various other forms of book education, I guess encyclopedias, wherever you see them, whether you see them digitally or you get an e-encyclopedia. Hey, right, that would be encyclopedia. I got an e-encyclopedia. That would mean it's a digital because you put e in front of it, right? So whatever, I found out, every, you know, they come up with something and they say, hey, well, here's a word we're going to add. And I only add one word a year. The digital revolution has been so intense and so, well, intense is not the word. I mean, it's become so globally accepted that many of the phrases that come with it, the jargon, digital jargon, have become part of our everyday speaking, our language, in, not just in English. See, the digital atmosphere, all, it doesn't, it hasn't begun in English. It didn't begin in English, but, English comes up with these terms that, other languages don't have these terms, and to translate them strictly makes no sense. And that's the problem, or a problem, with different languages. And that is that they never, I don't mean ever, never, I mean never, zero, zilch. They never fully translate something for its value and meaning, definition. So when I was looking for a word of the year, I think I mentioned this to you because I don't know, but I don't think I've mentioned this to you, okay? I know I have mentioned to you because we've used this as a source many, many times. And it's online. It would obviously be online. And it, I think it's still a physical magazine, Wired, W-I-R-E-D. Well, Wired, you know what? I don't have three. I'm sorry. I don't have three liquids. So I have water. I had my coffee before my, dark and black as hell, strong as death. Sweet as love. Yeah, it was sweet again. Actually, this wasn't. I didn't put any sugar on it. But I needed some water there. So there's an article about 2016's Word of the Year. Now, Word of the Year doesn't strictly mean one word. That's the thing. I don't even get this. You know, I don't have Phrase of the Year. And not just Phrase of the Year, the Word of the Year. The Word of the Year, I thought it was, well, I don't know. I'm going to go through this article with you. I've not read it, as I never do when I share these things with you. This is the first thing we're going to do. I'm not going to mention the second thing. I'm just going to do it if we have time. I think it's also from Wired. The article, I'll go through it with you. You see, this is how they're making money now. You know, is that they're constantly changing ads at the top of the pages on these magazines that are online. The very people never wanted anything to do with it. Now technology has allowed them to do this. If you went to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, Tom, you know, the blog, if you went there to look at what was going on here, you notice there's a photo on, along with the little text there about Word of the Year. Excuse me. Maybe it's, you know, it must be dry in here. What did you think? Okay. So that that is a picture of a dumpster. Now we all have dumpsters all over the world. You got dumpsters. Dumpster is a word. It's a noun. Because it's a thing. And nouns are people, places, and things. So it's not a place. It is a place. It's a dumpster. Inside a dumpster is a place. So there's a photo of a dumpster, and the contents of the dumpster are on fire. Now, when I saw this article, I said, well, boy, this is another one of those digital things. Because this is all digital, you know, not just the internet. That we should talk about, you and I, and through the Charlie Locke article. Is it Charlie Locke? Charlie Locke article here from... Now, dumpster, as I said, is a word. Excuse me. Fire is a word. Those are two words, right? They aren't any... There's no word dumpster fire. And yet, the term dumpster fire is 2016's word of the year. Dumpster fire. Now, it's two words. They don't even put a hyphen in between them. They don't connect it at all. But the article I want to share with you as I'm reading it for the first time and, you know, thinking around what's going on is called How Dumpster Fire Became 2016's Word of the Year. There's a whole bunch of dumpsters, dumpster icons and a flame. No, it's not. It's a basket. Not even a dumpster. Can you call a waste paper basket a dumpster? I don't think so. A dumpster is a specific, large, specific, heavy. Because it takes one of those big forklifts to pick it up and empty the stuff, right? Doesn't it? I think so. That's like three people talking out of my head. Does it? Yes, I think so. So I'm gonna share this with you because they always have that, you know, there's always that thing about share it, but I'd share it this way. This way, when I read it, you learn about it. You write things down in your, I got my little stool with wheels. I got a stool with wheels and it's difficult to get in an exact spot. Okay. All right. So this is what we're gonna talk about. This article and the term. And like I said before, of all the things I know or have known or learned or what, there's always something new, what have you. But what is dumpster fire? I did not know that. I went, what do you mean dumpster fire? I don't even know what it means. It's not like you give me a term and, you know, that I know what it means. 404, I don't know if they have 404s anymore, but you know, someone used to say 404. It was a digital term. And it was numbers related to, you know, a site that's not there, a page that's not there, to 404. Anyway, there's any number of them. And they haven't all become words that have qualified to be in a dictionary. But that I'm acquainted with so many of them because, you know, you work in this particular, you get experience just working through on this platform, this digital platform. So, I don't know, but we're going to find out now. If I could put this phone down. No, not the phone. That's good. I put the stool down a little bit, and now my bifocals, they sound like, not like Grandpa Barry. Hey, don't forget, I want to remind you of this too. See? Grandpa Barry, go to Grandpa Barry's Almost Heartwarming Tales and click on it, subscribe to it, it's free, and have a lot of fun. Again, there too. Funny, funny, funny. Our good friend of the show, and a good friend to everyone who doesn't want to be friends with him, Mr. Barry Meadow. Go there, do that. But anyway, let's start reading Charlie Locke's article. And talk about dumpster fire. If you don't know what is dumpster fire, we will find out now together. Think 2016 was a dumpster fire? Now he's using it right there. The nation's top linguists agree. The American Dialect Society just named dumpster fire and the two emoji that represented its word of the year. Now I know this much. If you know this already, you know, bless you that you know it. Dumpster fire has an emoji. And the emoji is not a dumpster. It's a waste paper basket. And next to it is a flame. Now already we are, and already I'm already, I said Leon, already I'm disgusted. Cause it's not a dumpster. At least, okay, I guess they couldn't get an emoji. Emoji. Somebody, you say emoji, and I say emoji. You say hello-ji, and I say hello-ji. Emoji. Emoji. Let's move on. It's the word of the year, even though it's two words, and even though the emoji is not a dumpster. You know, we're really stretching it here, guys. Gals. Why did the American Dialect Society name dumpster fire and the two emoji that represented a word of the year? Now, you know, wait a second. Go back. We're not going to move on here for a second. The word of the year is also a little emoji, which means it's an icon, a picture. So that would be like in a bathroom where like there's like no wheelchairs in the bed. They got a picture. They have those generic pictures of the string men. By string men, I mean, I said string men. It's string. What is it? String stick figures. They have these stick figures that, you know, this man, woman, life, death, infinity, you know? So it's not even a picture. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Here's why. Because, says the American Dialect Society, the phrase represents the public discourse and preoccupations of 2016. Y2K plus 16. The American Dialect Society, which I may add, I never knew existed, did you? The ADS. Could be a million things, right? The ADS says that dumpster fire represents, and this is a quote, the public discourse and preoccupations, discourse and preoccupations, end quote, of 2016. Okay, so let's move on and see what sense they try to make out of that. The Society of Linguists, Grammarians, so if you're a grammar guy, Grammarians, they say, I hate how they put Nazi at the end of certain things where people are very fervent about topics. He's a grammar Nazi. Can't they just say grammarians? That sounds like, where are they from? They're from the planet Grammar. Grammarians are coming. The grammarians. Okay. What? Oh, wow. Wait. You think that has something to do with this show? I don't think so. It's Kmart points have been unlocked, my friends. You know, eventually I'm going to be able to buy half the store. Like, now you see, they let the points run out. Okay, where are we? Grammarians, worldly, and wordy scholars, linguists, grammarians, and wordy scholars has awarded. Hey, that's plural. You already made a mistake, Charlie. Have awarded the prize each year, or has awarded the prize. Oh, why? Each year since 1990. And there were certain, here are some other ones that came out. Bush lips defined as insincere political rhetoric. Now, that was, I don't know what year that was the word of the year, but I haven't heard anybody, no one have I talked to on radio, off radio, broadcast, in life. People I like, people, no one has said to me, he's got bush lips, nothing. But there it is. Insincere, it means insincere political rhetoric. It won word of the year, and politically correct won most outrageous word. Politically. Now everybody knows that because it was a name of politically correct. And because, you know, that's become a big topic. This year, after an initial deliberation of the society's New Words Committee, wouldn't you love to be on the New Words Committee? I would. I'd love to be on the New Words Committee. How many people are on the Woodmurds? We're closing. We're getting the doors. We don't want that crack to be too wide. The Society's New Words Committee, more than 300 members of the Linguistic Society of America. If I just would have read on, if I would have read more, I would have found out there are 300 members of the New Words Committee. They are the members. Oh, they voted. No, we still don't know who the committee. There are 300 members of the Linguistic Society of America. Anyway, they voted at a standing room only reception during the Society's annual conference, which you never thought existed. I went to. I'm sure you never went to that. The entire slate had political bent, but dumpster fire ultimately triumphed over woke, normalize, post-truth, and hashtag no dapple, N-O-D-A-P-L. I don't know what that means. See, I don't even know that one. And in distant sixth place, sans dumpster, which would mean without dumpster. I guess you could use sans for anything now. Sans, does sans show up on the thesaurus, in a thesaurus as meaning without? I don't know. I haven't tried it. There's two people talking again. What are you, out of your mind? I think there's a, you know, we all have multiple personalities. So don't, you know. Now, also this year, Merriam-Webster, who were going to buy the circus from the Ringling Brothers. It would have been the Ringling Brothers Merriam-Webster Circus. But Merriam-Webster said, you know what? We don't want to go into the circus business. We're going to go into the word business. Because it was a word business. And there still is a word business. And business is a word. So Merriam-Webster chose surreal, which word of the year. Now, surreal has always been in the dictionary, so I don't know why it's not an addition. Dictionary.com. Have you ever gone to dictionary.com? I don't like it as much as I like rhymezone.com, which also is a dictionary, you know. But here's what, let me show you. I do this every now and then. Dictionary.com. Let's see, let's find it. Dictionary. Wow. It doesn't know it. It doesn't know it. My browser doesn't know that yet. Well, what? Can I do that? I'll just go to this. Dictionary.com. The good thing about dictionary, good, if you like a good thing, is I just get carried away. But again, you know, that's life. Dictionary. You know, if I made this, I wonder if I, no, it wouldn't do that. So I could put, let's see, if I put in dumpster, I guess on its own, it's a word, right? Let's say dictionary.com. You put in the word and it comes up with the definition is dumpster. And then it does this. Where is that? It does this. It tells you how to say it. Oh, come on. You know, because they had to put an ad on, my click was beneath. Oh. And it's everything to do with speed either. The speed of an internet doesn't. They say on dictionary.com, they'll tell you if you put in dumpster, you find out it's a noun. I told you. you don't have to be a teacher to figure that one out. A large metal bin for refuse, designed for refuse. Refuse. I want to make sure I said that twice that time. Designed to be hoisted into a specially equipped truck for emptying or hauling away. They don't haul away the truck. They haul away the, see, that's even. But, so that using a little waste paper basket as the emoji is just dumb. Anyway, when you go to dictionary.com, and what did I say they did? Dictionary.com, xenophobia is the word that dictionary.com chose as word of the year. But it will tell you at the same time, you can go in there and find the definition for
dumpster.
Dumpster. See? So he's loud, isn't he? I thought that sometimes it's a girl, and other times it's not. So it's word. Anyway, that's why I like it. And you know, you can learn words at the same time if you don't know how to say them. See, I get hung up on this, and I do this kind of stuff because I'm playful, and I'm not concerned about the Doors tribute band, see. But if I put in, think of a dumpster, fire, of course, would be there. But I wonder if a tinabulation which is a word that was created by Edgar Allan Poe. I wonder if tintinnabulation ever made it in... Did you mean tin... Yeah, tin... Oh, it, yes. Let's find out how to spell it. It says right here... Wow, there's not even a... What? There's not a... oh, yes, I did mean tintinnabulate. Yes. Yes, I did. Let's see if it comes up. I know I've strayed. And I got to go back to the article. Tintinnabulation. Wow. So here's a word they made, a word which was created for a play. The Bells, I believe it was called The Bells by Edgar Allan Poe. Hear the... What? It doesn't work now? Hear the... Oh, it's still... It's still loading. Why? Because it's what? Because it's loading? Because it's loading an ad. Hear the...
Tintinnabulation.
Of the bells. See, now that's a girl. Hear the...
Tintinnabulation.
Of the bells. Hear the...
Tintinnabulation.
Of the bells. See, I get... I mean, that's... You could... I would like to do a whole show where I could just have them say it. Probably could do it, but anyway. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, coming up to what is known as the end of the first hour of this Y2K plus 17 Cthulhu Chronicles. And what am I doing? I'm getting ready to, you know, I'm just going to do one of those little things where we stop there for a second and take a breath, take a glass of water, maybe get some more water. You don't have a lot of time. You won't have a lot of time. But, hey, let's use this one for a change. This one, you see, make up my mind as I go along. In real radio, listen to me, real, this is real radio now. If this was not real radio, we would have a problem. So where'd it go? Oh, let me just use the same old, same old. What was I going to say? Is that what you want to know? I'm going to take a short break. A minute and 31 seconds, you have to run and get water. Or whatever you have. When I tell you, not exactly right, because I'm still talking about this. Anyway, dictionary.com went for xenophilia, because now I'm thinking of, is there a xenophilia? I have a bad case of xenophilia. See, you can look that up. You didn't even know. Before I said tolerance, or I said it wasn't tolerance, I said something else. I said, well, that's not a word. You can look it up. And the Oxford Dictionary, as I mentioned right off the bat there, selected post-truth. Two words, but. They put a hyphen in it. But so far, the new words committees, now known as dumpster fire, and I still don't know what, that's why you have to stay tuned to find out, is the only choice to be so imminently emojiable, while it's clearly a bit of commentary on current events, according to Ben Zimmer, who is the chair of the New Words Committee. It's also, quote, says Ben Zimmer, a bit of dark humor for people who were a bit unhappy with the events of 2016. And as I mentioned last week, there's an awful lot of people saying that was a horrible year. And I swear they've been worse, but I don't know what they mean in general. And I've heard that so many times on the New Year's Eve. People say, well, I'm glad that year's gone. They don't say, hey, I've never heard anybody say, hey, it's 1972 and it's going to be 1973. Let's do 72 again. You know, no way. They're moving on. Even people who don't want to move on or people who want to move backwards still don't say, that was great. I want to do it again. Unless you're so conservative that you want to go, hey, let's do 1959 again. You know, it ain't going to happen. Okay. Ben Zimmer said that was it. Some years, more about Zimmer, 2 minutes more about Zimmer. Oh, wait, 50 seconds, according to that clock. Why are all these clocks wrong? I mean, not wrong, they're different. Well, that means they'd be wrong. One of them, they can't all be right if, okay. Some years, Zimmer can accurately predict the winner of Word of the Year. Not this year, though. He said, quote, last year there was a clear front runner. They being used as a singular third person pronoun, he says. As like use, maybe we could get use. They would be a number of people, but now you'd use it as a third-person pronoun. Like use. Y-O-U-S, but they never made use a really word, a really word. He said, this year the competition was close. Woke, in particular, was popular enough to prompt a runoff vote, though dumpster fire took the crown. And here's the score, my friends, and you all, my friends, 162 to 129. That's how dumpster fire became word of the year, and we're going to tell you more about that as soon as we come back. So go get yourself some water or something. Look at that. It won't even click because we got the, we got that strange thing happening. Look at that. Amazing. It won't ding, 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 ding. Wow. Let's see if I can move this over here. I know you can't see, but I can see. You know, we have that thing that happens. There we go. We'll be right back.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Ladies and gentlemen, the voice, one-time voice and co-host of Cthulhu Chronicles. Did you imagine I had a co-host? Did I? Yeah. Oh, things have changed. Hey, we're back here. My name is Frank Cthulhu. Man's name adorns the title of the show. This is the second hour. Seems like only 5 minutes, huh? Let me remind you again. We don't know who we're going to have on next week, but we might. I don't think I'm going to do, we've been doing a lot of solo shows, but there are a lot of people who are going to be on eventually. So we're going to get a lot of those people on here. What do we have to tell you? Oh, we have to tell you again. The Montreal Jewish News is coming back. MontrealJewishNews.com. One of the features is a column by me, a rare event in that is called Political Pulp, and I don't know how to explain it to you, but it is contemporary topics, and it is humorous, and you may, again, go there, and you go there, I don't know, start next week, go there, I'll tell you more about it on the, what is today, the 11th, that'd be 7 days, 16th, 17th, 18th, I don't know, 12th, 18th. And the regular books and everything else you get, okay? Future guests, you'll figure it out as we move along, as we always move along. We're talking now about dumpster fire, which is the American Dialect Society's word of the year, which is really two words and what have you. But we're reading from, and I'll give them credit, and I'll give them a little plug because not that they need it, because they do far better than I do in terms of this stuff. Wired. You know, I was getting Wired magazine. I don't know how old this magazine. I don't know the age of this magazine, but we were getting it back when I had an office here. And when we were part of a magazine we were publishing in this area when I'm, and it was always great. Oh, you could read, you know, because it was a beautifully designed, and it still is a beautifully designed magazine if you get it by By what? By plane? I don't know. You know, by airmail? But if you get it in the real, in the U.S. post, oh, well, not the U.S., but if you get it in a post office that is run by itself or a country, I don't know how that works anymore. But it's also online, wired.com. I'm sure there's a lot. I'm sure if you buy it and if you subscribe and you get the, you'll get all sorts of stuff. Just, you figure it out. But we're reading from an article by Charlie Locke about why dumpster fire, two words, has become the one word, the word of the year by this group we never heard about, and American Dialect Society. And we also told you about Merriam-Webster and Ringling Brothers. What's the Ringling Brothers? You know, let me tell you something. Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, the word of this year is going to be feminine. Because for the first time in 146 years, they have a ringmaster that is not male. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. As Conan O'Brien would say. Yeah. 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 And so if it comes to town, this Ringling Brothers, Merriam and Webster Circus, that's what it would have been called if Merriam and Webster didn't go into the word business, you can see the female. I forgot her name. I'm sorry. It was on the CBS, the CBS Evening News. So go look it up at CBSNews.com or at CBSN. I'm giving everybody credit. And then you know what? Nobody gives me any credit, but so what? It's not about me. I'm telling you things that you might not know because you don't hear these things on the other stations, at least not in this cadence or in this form. They do a story at a time. I'd like six at once because, you know, because all that. Let's go back here. Post-truth and xenophilia. Xenophobia became words for other places. But here goes the 2016, the year paralinguistic self-expression became crucial. 2016, you know. I know we're well into it now, the 17, but Y2K plus 16 was the year paralinguistic self-expression became crucial. This year wasn't the first time so many submissions referenced political events. 4 years ago, says Zimmer, there were binders full of women and Eastwooding. I'm not going to go into the reference. You could look these up. That's why you have the Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. So you could do more research and find out more about this stuff. These were words. It almost, he says, it seems almost quaint in retrospect, unquote. But an unprecedented amount of the 2016 presidential campaign took place on Twitter, a development that fundamentally changed how linguists source neologisms. Neologists. Is it neologists? Yes. In neologisms. And how we create them. Linguists source neologisms. Neologisms. Yeah. And how we create them because Twitter became so used and such a part of a national event, which was an international event, actually, really. Those of you who know the history of this show may remember, I'm going to have Kirk Brando is going to be on again. It's the damn time change because the guy is, where is he now? Vietnam? The plane, boss. We got to get him. He's the one who came here and told us about any number of things many years ago that have become, look. Zimmer says we can eavesdrop on what's spread in a way that we couldn't do before. Zimmer says, after Hillary Clinton mentioned a basket of deplorables or Donald Trump blurted nasty woman, You could buy t-shirts and mugs emblazoned with the terms within hours. Now this is something, again, which promotes the changes, and it really kills a lot of other businesses that take time to do things. But the digital platform has created so many ways of communicating and also creating various objects. Look at the printing industry. Where is that gone? You could print. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. So that's it. So that's why you could. That's what Zimmer is saying. Okay, t-shirts and mugs and blazons. By the way, we were doing that years ago with Cafe.com, CafeExpress.com. I think you could still do it. Anybody can have, but they're expensive because they're all dropship. But that's another story. Anyway, what he's saying is that you can see the way that people receive what the candidates are saying, react to it, and repurpose what they've heard. Hashtags are often used as vehicles to circulate a linguistic meme. You know, I don't know about this thing either. Meme? I keep seeing this. Let's see if this is in the... I don't know. I see that. I go, what's a meme? Me? Is that me? Is that meme? Am I supposed to say meme? Meme. Oh, my darling little, lovely little meme. Meme? Or is it meme? Or meme? I don't know that thing. The American Dialect Society has given these new forms their due. In 2015, for the first time, it included categories for most notable emoji and most notable hashtag. By the way, the most notable emoji is, looks to me like it's a, it looks to me like it's a, an eggplant. The vegetable eggplant, which is not an egg, and it was, you don't plant an egg to get it. Oy, oy, oy. And the most notable hashtag was hashtag say her name. And we've not even gone into the, we never did it on this show. A lot of you people probably know this more. As I said, I see I do all this, and I've been here from the beginning, and I still don't know a lot of this, a lot of the lingo and jargon and stuff that goes on and becomes this language of the digital format. So hashtag, how did that become hashtag? It's a pound. It used to be called a pound because it was on the phone. It's a pound. Why is it a pound if it's a number? Isn't it number? Okay. And then I have to pass by this GIF, G-I-F. I don't even know what I don't know, internal photo, something. I don't even know what that means. Of a dumpster, a real dumpster, this drives me nuts. Okay, not a waste paper basket like the emoji, but an actual big, long dumpster, and it's on fire. Of course, dumpster fire held meaning before it became waste paper basket flame, that should have been, you know, but nobody says that. You can trace it to 2009 when sports radio host, and I know you've all listened to this guy because you're all into sports radio, aren't you? Maybe some of you are into sports radio. Mike Wise used the phrase in a column about the Redskins losing to the Lions, calling it an, he called it an, quote, abomination of a loss, unquote. We'll go further back to 1936. 1936, there was no, I got news for you, there was no internet, there was no television. Go back to 1936 when George Dempster invented the garbage truck. D-E-M-P-S-T-E-R. One letter separates him from a dumpster. George Dempster invented the garbage truck and called it the Dempster Dumpster. The Dempster Dumpster. Let me ask you something, Mr. Dempster. What's on your plate? Well, whatever it is, I'm throwing it out. I'm bringing it to the table. But what are you going to bring to the table? I'm going to bring to the table the fact that what's on my plate has got to go into the Dempster Dumpster. Whoa. That was quick and efficient. I said that completely like I could say seashells. See, I already said it incorrectly. She sells seashells by the seashore. The para linguistic forms, as they're known, offer an additional form of self-expression, one we especially needed in 2016. I'm back to the article. When we talk in person or on the phone, we rely on gestures and intonations to express ourselves, especially when the subject prompts an emotional reactions. See, there's a mistake here. You've got mistakes in Wired. Proofread more. And emotional reactions? Okay, I'm just reading it. I'll try to correct it as I go along. As more of our communication happens online, we turn to digital forms to share those responses, the emotional responses that we use live. Emojis, GIFs, pictograms. A pictogram is using like parentheses and dots and colons and semicolons and lines to make a picture of a stick figure that expresses the emotion. Zimmer says, quote, in informal written communication, especially on the internet, we want to convey our tone of voice and attitude towards people. Now, that wasn't Zimmerman. That was linguist Gretchen McCulloch. Emoji are really good at paralinguistic communication to accompany the literal meaning that we're conveying. You probably know about emojis. I personally don't like emojis. I think that if you say something, it doesn't always have to be sprinkled with emotion. The words, what I'm saying is you don't need a picture, an illustration. You should be able to, this is me, now I'm talking. You should be able to speak and write well enough so that the words have the emotions built into them. I can only do it so much, but you know, people who don't write, they do emails, or they only got 140 characters. Once that comes on, when you're doing texts, and it starts to get so restrictive that you cannot fully express yourself. So that's why they have these things. The use of emoji to represent visceral response was especially useful in a year when the news, from political gaffes to racial tensions, felt deeply personal. This is what Locke is saying now. Locke is the author. In 2015, Apple released iOS 8.3, including the first range of skin tones. In 2016, Twitter added three black fists to the hashtag Black Lives Matter. As emoji become more personalized, they allow users to more specifically represent themselves. Other contenders for the emoji of the year were, and this is something, it's a yellow thing, I can't even see it. It'll say, it's a face? What is that? I don't even know. Maybe if I highlight it, I could see. No, that even makes it worse. And I don't know either of these. It's a brown spot. Brown, here, spot! Quote, says McCulloch, it's not a coincidence that all the most popular are face and hand emojis. They show stuff we can do when we see each other. Okay. So I think the one I can't see because it's too light, or it's just my eyes, are hands, and the other one is a face. So the most popular emojis are hands and faces, because when we gesticulate, when we talk, and sometimes we make shapes, or, you know, we move our hands in a certain way to emphasize certain words go up, and, you know, okay. It's like when you can't italicize something in a text or on a particular document when you're typing digitally, and you put an asterisk on one side and an asterisk on another side. That means to emphasize that word as if it were italicized. If you don't know that, you know it now. If you knew that, then the hell with me. Oh, look, there's only a little bit more. Inevitably, some of 2016's most popular expressions will fade from the zeitgeist. And we go into the zeitgeist? No, we'll go by. Joining the likes of Y2K, which was 1999 word of the year, and I have been using it because that's 2000. I have been using it on this show since, because we are on the New Millennium show. And I told you before, Y2K plus 17. I say plus 17. 2000 plus 17. but it was 1999 Word of the Year. They say it's faded, and it has. And to be Plutoed, which was the 2006 Word of the Year. I don't know what that means, and I've never heard anybody say it. I've been Plutoed. Plutoed? You can look it up. You find it. You might know it. My stool is moving away, but it's not going towards the piano. The practice of creating new phrases to describe cultural events will continue. This is what I'm telling you. Moving forward, this is the Hallelujah Trail, my friends, my comrades. You know, I've been saying that for years, and now it almost, because of certain situations just an American saying that, I was saying that for years, and it wasn't meant to be like, hey, my socialist party. Anyway, the era of digital communication. New phrases to describe cultural events and expressions will continue in an era that now moves on the Hallelujah Trail. And it includes emoji. Let's just hope 2017 is more flame, more fire, less dumpster. But you know what? That didn't tell me what dumpster fire means. I gotta take a drink of water. Now I'm pissed. Because it doesn't say what dumpster fire, it assumes, come on you guys. Charlie Locke tells me all this, and I tell you all this, and nobody tells me what does dumpster fire mean. I see that, and if you'd have told me, here's dumpster, this, what does this mean? I would say basket flame, as I told you, because it's not even a dumpster. I protest. And I don't know, unless I go to, where do I have to go? To the Urban Dictionary? How do I know? Who knows? Anyone out there know? Anyone who's listening right now? Well, don't go to my Yahoo, because I don't have it open. You can email me at any given time. No, maybe you should do it now. I don't want to give out anyone out there who knows my Comcast email might now, if you're listening, send me, oh, wait a second. How about we do this? I don't know, Tom Savino would know. See if anybody, is anybody online? Nobody's online. What is dumpster fire? What does this mean? Nobody's online. I'm looking at my contacts now to see if there's anybody on, excuse me, anybody on Skype. Who I know, who I would call now and ask. Too bad Kurt Brando. He would know. I don't know this guy. He's Kurt, but back, he's here. He's online, Kurt Brando. What time is it wherever he might be? It must be morning. Wouldn't that be great to just surprise him for 22 minutes? We could try and call him. Who else is online? Deborah Ann Pollock wouldn't know, but we should talk to her again soon because the Oscars are coming up. This is just going, things, Echo Sound Test is on. I don't know this person. I got so many people who came on. He's Howard Siblinger, of course. Harold, God help me. Howard Siblinger is on. I don't know this person. And they're online. Oh, I'm not calling Jiggy because he's just got to be punched in the face. Seven Graylands might know, but he's not online. With Tony Richards, though, I don't know. Veronica is not. They're away. They're all away. Actually, I'm away, too. I said away. Angela Gordon wouldn't know. Bill Bostick's asleep. And who else? And I don't, you know, Charles Dennis, no, he's not even online. So where would I find this? Dumpster fire. I wonder if I just go to, you know what? I know what I'll do. Because I've seen young people do this. You go to Google, let's say, Google. You know, this other topic I was going to go into, it may be really too complicated to go into in only a half hour that we have left. I'm going to ask it a question, Google. What does dumpster fire mean? And it comes, look, it comes up. I'm going to find out. Charlie Locke, I just got to say, I love Wired, but still. Okay. obviously. It says fire crews responded to a dumpster fire at the North End Community Center. It means a fire in a dumpster. I understand that. And I now understand that the emoji is not a dumpster but a basket. But let's find out what the meaning, See, I didn't have to end with is or something because I took the what out. Take the question out of anything and you get a correct sentence. So I could find out what dumpster fire means in the informal, as it calls. It says a chaotic, I think we could have figured this out, a chaotic or disastrously mishandled situation. Last season was a dumpster fire, and it didn't get that way overnight, okay? The Urban Dictionary, I was right, you could have went to the Urban Dictionary. It defines rolling dumpster fire, they've got three words. Though very much like a hot mess, dumpster fire, or a train wreck. Now, train wreck is the one we all know already. So dumpster fire is like train wreck. The main distinction of dumpster fire is that he or she is out of control. Okay, so a train wreck is a wreck. You saw it. It's a mess. Okay, and a hot mess is a mess. But the dumpster fire is someone out of control. Can't be stopped and is threatening the light, is threatening to light the whole damn neighborhood. So when you say dumpster fire, you're talking about something that is out of control. And so you can't, did somebody just say something? No. more points. More points at Kmart, friends. Dumpster fire. The funny thing, if I'm using funny, you know, in that respect, strange, odd, the odd thing with a lot of this is I haven't heard some of these things. Now, granted, I am not the most social or accessible. I'm pretty accessible, but not directly. I don't hobnob. I don't get into crowds. I don't, you know, I'm not out there in the public as so much that I could hear this stuff. Although a lot of the people that I hang with, and there's not a lot of people, you know, are more hep. Is that a word too? I could use that word. Are more hep than I in these things. But dumpster fire, I haven't heard. Of course, I know train wreck. Or by the time, I don't know how far back that goes. Urban Dictionary is a thing where maybe we'll look into that. I was going to go into something else. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. And this show is Cotolo Chronicles. Y2K plus 17. They don't say it. We do. We've been saying it every year. Every year. And here we are. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com to find us. We're on many other places during the week, including True Talk Radio, where connected to True Talk Radio is what Montreal Jewish News coming back. And it's a great source within a source for stuff that's happening in Montreal and the Jewish community, including international events and what have you. But also they are always kind enough for me to sell my books and to do a humor column, Political Pulp. Now, you know, there's a couple of people out there saying, that was humor? That was supposed to be funny? Because I believed all that stuff. Which means have I been doing fake news, you know, since what? Before it was fake? God, what's his name? I mean, you know, fake news. Let me tell you, we did a little thing about fake news, but not fake news from a person's point of view. For instance, it's like fake history would be fake, you know, fake news is something that is untrue and it's happening. It has to do with what's happening now. So I'm like fake history or, what I did with Molotov memoirs. And you can get those books at blurb.com. Two of them. All right, like stick a commercial right in there. See, because it popped right out of my subconscious into the what? I am not a dumpster fire, all right? Some people would define me and will and have. I got past, present, and future right in there, to find me as a dumpster fire. But I'm not a dumpster fire. I am not out of control. I might not know what I'm doing from one moment to the next, but I'm not out of control. Out of control or dumpster fire was, you know, something is in danger and it can be catching. And at the moment, it seems to be a tornado. How come they don't use tornado? And yet they make up a tornadic. Oh, this language. I wonder, and I have to ask some people I know who live in other countries, if they have the problems with their language that I have with mine, with the main language. These people would be bilingual, which is also, right, bilingual. Yeah, they speak more than one language. Actually, that means, bilingual means you speak two languages. That's all. Because bi has to do with two. That's the prefix. Is that a prefix? Heather Drain will also be back on the show. See how that, you see how I bounced off that thought? What else did I want to, I was going to talk about this other thing. And I don't know. Let me give you a hint, and maybe we'll talk about this with somebody who might even know more about this than I know. Is this it? I'm asking you. Yeah. Let me hit this and give you an idea of what, this was also from Wired? Yeah. I've never totally understood also this other thing called net neutrality. Net neutrality. Now, if that was Nat, it'd be like a guy's name. Hey, what's your name? Nat. Neutrality. Nat neutrality. Nat neutrality. That's how I think of things. They're always something else. Clint Finity. Finley. I can't even pronounce it. Can't even read. It's kind of what's happening to me. There's a Wired. Now, if I tell you this, then you're going to go read it and then we would, no, because, you know, 2015 was the year the Federal Communication Commission grew a spine. And 2017 could be the year that spine gets ripped out. Boy, is that a teaser? Did I just give you what is known as a teaser? What is known as a teaser? I was going to try and think of a synonym for teaser. Is that, could that be possible? Some, but I don't know. What is net neutrality? It has to do with what? Yeah, I should look it up. Shouldn't I? At dictionary. No, I wouldn't look it up at dictionary. I'm going to, what does? Here, I'm just going to put it right in here. See, you, I get these particular problems because I don't need to look smart if I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just do it as I go along. This is what people do. You know? What does net neutrality, here, what does net neutrality mean? And now we're going to look it up. Net neutrality. Here it is. The principle that internet service providers should enable access to all content and applications, regardless of the source, and without favoring or blocking particular products or websites. So the idea, well, that's good, isn't it? Isn't net neutrality good? That means we all get everything. We're all not like, we're trying to connect in China. Is that it? Vagina? it's an open internet. The principle that internet service providers should give customers access to all legal content and applications on an equal basis without favoring sources or blocking others. That's why this becomes weird, because the name of the title is the year Donald Trump kills net neutrality. Uh-oh. So that means we want and we have net neutrality, and there are political forces trying to do away with it. This is not good. Now all of a sudden, I don't like this. Because I thought it was the other way around. I thought net neutrality had something to do with censoring. But getting rid of it has to do with censoring. I've learned what you might know, and I don't like it. So let's look a little bit at this. We can always go in with someone in the future shows, whatever. We'll go to somebody who knows a little bit more about this. Maybe it's a good topic for Kurt Brando, who is in different countries all the time. What are different countries? Different countries. I mean, it's a country who's in many different countries. No, you can't be in many different countries at once. Oh, you know what I mean. From where this place is located. So net neutrality getting ripped out is terrible. Over the past 2 years, the FCC has passed new regulations to protect net neutrality by banning so-called slow lanes on the internet. That created new rules to protect internet subscriber privacy. And it levied record fines against companies like AT&T and Comcast, or Xfinity, as they like to be known. But this more aggressive FCC has never sat well with Republican lawmakers. Soon, these lawmakers may not only repeal the FCC's recent decisions, but effectively neuter the agency as well. And even if the FCC does survive with its authority intact, experts warn it could be the end of serving a darker purpose under President-elect Donald Trump. If you're listening to this after the 20th, it's President Trump, of course. Predicting exactly what sort of telecommunications policy the next administration will pursue is tricky. The main clues we have thus far are the writings of Trump's transition team. But transition teams don't actually make policy, so they're an imprecise indication of what will follow. Here's a quote from Kevin Werbach. It's amusing to watch all the misguided tea leaf reading based on the transition team members. He's an associate professor at the Wharton School, who was part of President Obama's transition team. And that's, because he has a team going out too. Okay. It's like when people speculated about Obama's policy agenda based on attributes of my World of Warcraft character. Oh, is that this Kevin Werbach? We're supposed to know him. That's the only thing I don't know. That's the only thing that bothers me too about Wired and various people who talk about things in the digital atmosphere that I don't know. And they just say it like, oh, you don't know him. I'm sorry. You know me. You know, I make reference to many, many things to younger people and they go, what? What's that? I don't know. And I sound like that. When I'm supposed to know things like, I don't know these games. And they talk about games. And I was like, and I can't even think of one here. Right? Combat now. Or I don't know. I don't know. Oh. So now I'm a little confused. Anyway, the point that they're trying to make, I think simply writings. Let me get to a thing here. Some have held out hope that Trump end up being more friendly. Wow. I can't believe how much is missing. I mean, how many corrections are needed on articles on the interweb here on Wired. You would think they would be spotless when it comes to, wow. I would think. You would think? I would think. See if Tom Savino's on the line yet. Where's Tom? Nope, he's not here yet. He'll be here shortly because he's going on, I believe, after this. For those of you who are listening live or listen to my show on a station where Savino Veritas follows. Let me say this once again to other program directors who are listening. Savino Veritas is a great show, and this man is smart and funny. And he takes a lot of... He spins a lot of things. And he has good guests, funny guests, good guests. And he does his share of pop culture, his share of pop politics. And you really should go. Savino Veritas. Of course, in wine there is truth. Vino Veritas. In wine there is truth. So, and he's great. He really puts together a great show. And he's not a big sloppy guy like me. But that's what was one of the things. No, it's not one of the things that made us. Anyway, we were a team a long time ago, and you could ask him about that. You ask me about that, but you're not on the phone. So there's so this thing that says here, neutrality, despite a tweet in 2014 claiming that net neutrality would somehow be used to target conservative media, a claim that makes no sense, based largely on Trump's opposition to the AT&T Time Warner merger during his campaign. But there's little reason to think net neutrality will survive under Trump. His transition team is just as united against net neutrality as their predecessors were for it. Congressional Republicans have been working to kill the FCC's net neutrality rules since before the FCC voted on them. The two Republican FCC commissioners have already vowed to overturn the FCC's current net neutrality rules and other regulations. So you don't need to read tea leaves to predict that the FCC's net neutrality rules are not long for this world. Okay, this is definitely something we all need to get behind and write to our congressmen, senators. I don't care what party you do, what you think, what you believe, or anything. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But we have to keep, here's Tom Savino, we have to keep net neutrality. We have to have all the things we could get on the internet. We don't want censorship on the internet. We don't want them saying you can't put that up there because it has some kind of, you know, it's enough to, you know, moral that it hurts people's feelings or whatever. You've got to be able to, the internet. And you know what that'll do? Here's what that'll do. If they start making net, not making it neutral and starting to say this can't be on and this can't be on, if they start using ways and means and laws and whatever, orders, executive, whatever they do, if they start doing things that stops or hinders the highway, the internet, what's going to happen is the stuff is going to become like black market stuff. And the dark web, which we have told you about, and which the dark web is going to excel. The dark web is going to become a billion-dollar industry if it's only $1 million, $2 million, $3 million right now. We have to have net neutrality, as I have learned I finally learned the definition and what's going on. We need to have everything that is allowed on the internet. This is what really bothers me too, is that from the beginning, and we had fights with the mainstream world in terms of what the internet, what goes on with the internet. And I've been here since the beginning when they were worried about all sorts of stuff. And when they were still fighting, the music industry was fighting. And, you know, everybody was fighting because the internet stunk. It was no good or what have you. Now, to have any government say, we're going to filter this, is bad for everybody. 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 Did I say everybody? That means man, woman, beast, whoever. You should not. I wasn't going to get into this, and here I'm into this with 15 minutes left. We might as well read the rest of this and see. There's good news. So let's get to the good news. The good news is that Comcast is required to honor net neutrality until 2018 under the terms of its merger with NBC Universal Acquisition in 2011. And Charter is bound by a similar obligation until 2023 under the terms of the acquisition of Time Warner Cable this year. It's also possible that some form of limited net neutrality. How can it be limitedly neutral? See, here they go again, trying to explain things that they want to explain situations and ideas and concepts that cannot be explained like this. Some form of limited net neutrality protections could make it through Congress as long as the bill did away with the FCC's reclassification of internet providers as utility-style common carriers. Here's Harold Fay of the Digital Rights Advocacy Group, Public Knowledge. You might want to look them up and see if there's anything you could do about it. There is a recognition from the industry that we can't re-litigate every time there's a new administration. And yeah, you know, yeah, hello. Oh, this article is almost over anyway, so we might as well do the end of it. We got 15 minutes and we'll talk about it. But it's doubtful that such a bill would ban the biggest threat to net neutrality. 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 It's doubtful that the bill would ban the biggest threat. Here's the biggest threat. Charging customers for some data usage while exempting certain sites or apps. It's a practice known as zero rating. Critics of zero rating argue that it amounts to a form of picking winners and losers on the internet because services that don't count towards a customer's data cap will have a distinct advantage over those that do have data caps. That gets a little bit contrived and complicated. I admit it does, but this is something you might want to look into as we do and tell you to. When I don't and I cannot hand you the entire book of information about net neutrality. Neutrality? What is wrong with me? Don't answer that question. Don't write to me and put it in alphabetical order. Don't do that. My name is Frank Catone, a man whose name is on the title of the show. And I don't know what this would do. Maybe that's when, you know, if they came in here and they have come in here, and there's been a fight, a battle, I should say, of mine since the beginning of doing broadcasting on the internet and fast speed and the days of Amcast and the Waskowitzes and the people who really made this something. There are no statues of them. There's nobody knows unless you come to me and I say, yeah, the Waskowitzes. And they go, what? What is that? Ugh. And you know, I mean, the Mark Marins of the world and the people who make their podcasts commercial have no idea what was going on right here on the internet and SRN1. You know what I'm saying? And many of our stations would still exist. So many of the stations, the independent stations, don't exist anymore because they can't. It's too much money. And at one time, money wasn't the driving force. But as usual, whenever something becomes really commercial, it's all about money. But when it starts to become all about censorship, then I'm not a political person per se, and I'm not a person who marches in the streets for things. But two things will always get me into the streets. One is freedom of speech. When you start to screw with that, I'm out there. And the other one is white supremacy. Because I'm telling you, and I have told you, and maybe you were around to hear some of those stories I told you about in my neighborhood, what I did to quash this force, that kind of stuff, neo-Nazism, and which of course all of that stuff would mean a lack of freedom of speech. So it's connected, you know, in a way. The freedom of speech. Okay. Net neutrality sounds like something everyone should have, even though the people who make money off all this stuff, it's not us. It's not, you know, it's the service, the ISPs, internet service providers, and the servers and all, you know, let's face it, it's not. Otherwise, I mean, I would be a millionaire being on all this time. And the sponsors I could have had when there was nobody wanted to sponsors. And nobody clicks. How many people, you know, if you go to 148.ca/Frank, which is my webpage for my main blogs, which are there once a week and have been there once a week and will be there once a week for as long as I, and that'll be longer. They'll be there longer than I can live because if I keep staying a year ahead on the content, then I could be dead and buried and you could still be reading fresh material from me. This I know is not your goal in life, but it is something that can happen. Net neutrality means that, I got Comcast, but I can't watch, let's say, porn or what have you. Or let's say, well, I don't know what to say because I don't know what that means. What do the Republicans want to do that? What do the conservatives want to do with the internet? And by the way, you know, let's face it. All the people who are so conservative that they'd like to see things happen as they were, you know, in the Wild West days, those people utilize and excel and thrive by digital technology. So to start fighting it is absurd. To start restricting it is absurd. It affects everyone now. This is the Hallelujah Trail. How many shows have I done about that? And how many times do I keep saying this? And I've been saying it well before all the media people who will, you know, the bad people, All the commercial forces came to the internet. I thought they'd be nicer to us, but they're not. But you see what I'm saying? There's no way to stop the information superhighway. I couldn't even get that. The ISH. There's no way to stop the ISH. It's moving on. Maybe I'll come up with a theme. You notice I didn't go over to the piano? I could go over to the piano, and I don't know what you'd hear. You're never going to stop the, what is it I said? When I did shows and there was nothing, there were never guests, and there was only a chat room back then, because only certain people had high speed, and we didn't have anybody even on the phone or anything in those days. This still happened to me. And the way that I speak, the energy I have, it was the same thing. And that's why people thought me, Frank Cotullo, who they didn't know, because it was a whole new medium. This was a whole new thing. And all the people who had this new thing and were involved in this new thing didn't know my connection with the actual, what do we call it? I gave what I call mainstream. I call it brick and mortar radio. And brick and mortar, analog, let's call it analog, show business. ASB. We'll just make, those aren't acronyms. We'll make ASB. But they didn't know that. So what's going to happen, said Frank, duh. I think I got a piece of hay in my mouth and a flannel shirt. How did they wear those flannel shirts in the South? You know, they show those like Beverly Hillbillies type. How do they wear flannel in the summer and hats and shoo? Okay. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. As long as this internet, that's wrong. Frank, it's wrong. The information superhighway. Nobody even calls it that anymore. But that's a very distinct and a true description of what goes on here. Information shared, not stolen, shared, not pirated, shared with others through this fascinating and complex and yet simple to use now form of communication. It's how simple can it be? You can walk around with a phone and write to people or what have you. So you see, if that's good, I don't believe it can be thwarted. This is the Hallelujah Trail. We're walking along and we're going forward. There's no looking back. There's no way to take this away from us. So people who are particularly conservative and want to see, you want to have this technology? This is the one technology that no one can control. This is the one technology that will not stand for censorship. This is the one technology that will speak up. And that goes to everyone, even the people who don't want people to speak up because they might say something that's against what they think or believe. Nothing will stop this. And my point is that it's a bit hypocritical to use it, to use this technology, which is super and smart, and it's better than anything that has ever come along. And we're just blessed to be in walking this trail where things continue. As I said, to go right back to the beginning, what I said in the beginning of the show, which is almost 2 hours ago, all the things that are here, you don't have to know about it all, but what you use and what we use now in every possible industry, may hurt a lot of people's, it may do away and make extinct many jobs and many things that people used to do with moving parts. The analog world is crumbling, but everything will adjust. To start to say we want to have both, you can't do it. You can't live with both of these things because this is excelling. This, let me tell you something, and this will put the whole show into perfect thematic concept. My friends, my comrades, listeners,
attention, alert, attention.
Here's the point. The information superhighway is a dumpster fire. But it's the kind of dumpster fire that keeps people warm, homeless people warm. It's spreading. And if you want to make that the metaphor, then fine. And maybe we'll say it is, as the definition professes, because it is burning up all sorts of things. It's burning up occupations. It's burning up the way things have been done with our hands. It's burning up machines. It's burning up the way buildings are built. It's burning up mathematics. It's adding to mathematics, which run everything anyway. That's how society, culture, the world, this mankind has been able to... Now I sound like... I'm my fist in the air. Okay. We'll look into that. We'll stay on top of it. We will be watching it. And we'll talk about it. And we'll get people who know more about it. You know what we'll do? We'll get one of the Waskowitches. And we'll get Jim... or his brother, or we'll get Seven Graylands back on. Seven Graylands, one of the first voices ever to broadcast. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the originals. Because this is not like America, where it's past the Civil War, and you can't go back and talk to George Washington. The people who were here at the beginning are still alive, thank goodness, so many of them. Man, you know? So, we can do that. Net neutrality and... the Internet of Things. Those are two topics that will be coming up a lot. Because, yeah, that's why you're writing it down, right? Yes, I am writing it down again. Because I want to remember the Internet of Things is something else that needs to be addressed. Net neutrality and net neutrality and that. This is what's going to happen, and next week we will hopefully be on here again to do more of this stuff. So there. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show you've been listening to, and if you've been one way or another, is what? Cotullo Chronicles. And coming up, for those of you who are listening live, and for those of you... those of you who are listening live and those of you who are listening on a station, I mean, you're live. I mean, those of you who are listening on a station that, if you're listening on a station, what's the point? Listening on a station that also carries Savino Veritas, you will be hearing Tom Savino Veritas, coming up in a matter of momentos. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, you do. Because that's what we do here. We keep it going down the Hallelujah Trail. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You know where to find me when you need. Go buy the books. Go buy the books. Don't forget, Montreal Jewish News is starting again. I'll tell you more about it. Check into it. And good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. We've said a lot, and I hope you wrote some things down. But right now, I leave you because I have nothing more to say.